am a Nigerian lady who knows someone that knows someone, and that person is a friend of another. In Nigeria, everybody knows somebody.
Memoir of a Niger girl.
My diary, my friend's discussion, my acquaintance's conversation, all on this table. Follow me and let's talk.
Hello and welcome to another beautiful episode of Memoir of a Niger Girl. My name is Helen. How are you doing today? Body day inside clothes. Well, how are you really? Because I care. I care for you. Anyway, on today's episode, we'll be talking about tourism in Nigeria. Well, what is there in Nigeria? I bet this country, there's nothing there. Or make I get money, go abroad. There is a lot that you do not know. A lot of places, beautiful places, that we don't know in Nigeria. On today's episode, we're going to talk about them. The tourist attraction in Nigeria, the tourist industry in Nigeria, what should be done? Why are we carrying money that we're supposed to spend at home, carrying it outside? The insecurity is alarming. Okay, how bad is it? Is it affecting this industry, this tourist industry, from booming? Why are things the way things are? So on today's episode, I have with me Nike. Nike has been to 34 states in Nigeria out of 37 states. She's a budget traveler. So you should understand that she's not telling you, oh, you have to have all the monies in the world to explore, to see places. Our content are very, very inspiring. I love them. And this is why I decided to bring her on the show today to talk to us about Nigeria. The Nigeria we think we know, but we do not know. So let's talk to Nike about tourism in Nigeria. This is Memoir of a Niger Girl.
Memoir of a Niger Girl.
How are you doing, Nike? It's nice to have you here.
Same here.
Sorry about the bala blue that's been happening for a few minutes. How are you doing today?
Fine.
You are the tourist. It's actually one thing to be a tourist, to say, okay, I want to tour this place, I want to tour that place. But you are doing amazing in Nigeria. And I love your brand. Always going to your page. Okay, where is she now? What is she doing? And it's actually so inspiring to see that you're doing such an amazing job touring Nigeria. How did you start? How was it, you know, when you first started, what was the goal for you? How did you put your mind into it that, okay, this is what I want to do?
Okay, so I stumbled into it. I did not like just decide, oh, out of the blues, I want to start traveling. It was during NYSC Youth Service when I was posted to Akwa Ibom, but I redeployed because I was working in Lagos. I was born and bred in Lagos. I didn't want to leave Lagos. So I redeployed to Oyo State, hoping to like find a way to work around it and still stay in Lagos. Things did not work out and I was stuck in Ibadan, and I now really love the city. So I was very surprised that it was actually an urban city as opposed to what I thought it was going to be very rural and it was going to be local and stuff. So me staying there gave me like, it opened my eyes to see that there are a lot of misconceptions that we have when we do not go to places for ourselves. So that was like what gave me the drive to start, like, you know, because I liked photography then, so I was always posting pictures going to places, and then people were like, ah, they lie, that's not Ibadan. And then I was like, so it kind of gave me the ginger to want to show people more that, see, what you thought is really not true. You just hear from people and it's better than it is. So I just stumbled into it and then I just started loving it. I was more curious from Ibadan. I started going to other places. So curiosity and the drive to like showcase places.
I absolutely love that curiosity, that part of you, because, for example, I'm from Oyo State. I think I go there, but not like to explore. And a few months ago, I had a wedding in Ibadan. Then I said, okay, why not? Let's go to the zoo. You know, just going there and seeing how beautiful, how calm, you know, this state is. And I go back to Lagos. I called my mom. This place is fine. Why are we in Lagos? And she said, it's Ibadan, you know. So it's nice to hear from you that you actually joined, you started traveling from your NYSC days. I served in Cross River, for example. I have different feeling about it. You know, I don't know. I just feel like the people were not so nice. I only stayed for 4 days. I felt sick. Yes, I felt sick. I just felt that the people were not so nice, you know. They were very cranky. That was my experience, right? I mean, it's definitely different for other people.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't like the vibe and I was so scared, like, oh, but why are they not so nice? You know, why, you know, things like that. So, but I would like to visit other places in Nigeria, and always I look at your page and I tell myself, how is she doing it? You know, how is she doing it? So that brings me to asking the second question. What is the true story about traveling across Nigeria? From your perspective, of course.
Okay, the true story. So I would say that in summary, I would say Nigeria is beautiful. That's like the summary of everything. I feel like we have bad PR. Right. We have bad PR. I don't know. Well, probably because of our government and everything. Like, we just do not rate our country.
Right.
We don't rate our country enough, right? So I feel like Nigeria is extremely beautiful, and we are sleeping on a gold mine. We're sleeping on a gold mine. I feel like, because if you take a look at it, like, in this country, first of all, our weather is good, right?
Right.
Then we have the south, that's the part where we have beaches, we have, like, the rainforest and all that. Then we also have the north. We also have north where we have, like, the desert, everything. So we have, like, every natural resources. You know, abroad, there are some countries that is just for the beaches.
Right,
they do not have mountains, they do not have deserts, they do not have everything, right? But we have every single thing that can make up, like, tourism in any continent, in just this country. We have all the natural resources. We have the we have hills, we have the hilly parts, we have the riverine parts, we have the beach parts, we have the desert parts in the north. Like, it's just all encompassing, and I feel like there's so much beauty, but we're sleeping on it because it's either we don't reach our country, the government does not reach the country, everybody does not reach the country.
I mean,
and apart from the places and locations, I feel like we're also very, very nice human beings, right? So traveling across Nigeria, I know we are Nigerians, everybody knows Nigerians as, oh, maybe we have bad character, but in all honesty, I feel like the everyday man in the country is nice.
Yeah.
Right. So traveling through Nigeria without necessarily knowing people, I've been exposed to so much kindness. I've been exposed to so much beauty in people, in places, in experiences. It's just a lot. And I feel like we just need to open our eyes to appreciate what we have. Because if we don't appreciate, it's people that outside the country that will be appreciating it. And they won't even know if we do not even appreciate it. So I feel like we're sleeping on a gold mine. That's what I think.
You know, for example, I think I've been to maybe 5 states in Nigeria. But I've been to so many countries, you know. And seeing you've been to 34 states in this country. Girl, are you doing it? How much of the problem of insecurity was on your mind every time you're traveling?
Funny enough, I did not have that. I did not have any feeling of insecurity. I mean, personally, I don't get scared easily, but I don't feed my mind with things that like with fear. I don't feed my mind with fear. Like, if there's no reason to, I have not seen any reason to personally, right? I've not seen. The only time I was probably afraid was maybe when I was traveling in the night one time, or one other time at what state was that? Anambra, where I heard that they were robbing some people or something. But, like, I don't feed my mind with fear that it cripples me, or it does not allow me to explore, or it does not. So I've not personally hard. I don't let those news get to me because I've experienced it, right? It's mostly people that do not step out that just assume the worst.
But
right?
also
So
going to the northern part of Nigeria, what about that one? You're not
okay,
you're
so
not
that
scared.
one, no, I wasn't scared at all. I wasn't scared at all. I wasn't scared at all. Because I started off with in Taraba. So Taraba was pretty chill. So it just kind of like laid the foundation for the other states I was going. So yeah, it was very, very convenient. The only inconvenient thing was that I couldn't speak Hausa. But if you want to look at statistics, I think Hausa people are the most friendliest people in the country.
For real, for
so,
real.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, now take a look
damn.
At the normal Aboki and the bike men that we see around. We can tell that people, I think, apart from the fact that maybe some people say let's forget that. But people prefer Aboki buying from them because they're kind of honest, right?
Yeah.
Their prices are cheaper than
Fair.
our yeah, so their fares are cheaper. They're very, very open. They are open book if you look at it. So that's how they are over there. They're not manipulative the way
right.
our
I agree with you.
yeah. They're just open. They're just living their life simply. And that was something that just so when you experience that, you won't even be afraid. Like, what would you be afraid of? You won't feel that fear when you get there. My experience.
I followed your page and I remember one of your trips. I think was it Borno State where the soldier stopped you and checked your
Oh, that was
bags.
Zamfara.
Was that Far
Zamfara.
State? And
Zamfara.
At that point, I was telling myself, I hope this day is final because this is what they are asking her to check. Because you know how military men, you know, sometimes
Oh my God.
And then
that was so cool.
You were there for a few minutes and they were checking your bags and asking what is in this country and what is in this state, like what are you doing here? What is in Zamfara that you are touring? How did that experience, how did that make you feel?
Oh my God, I was so pissed. I was very, very upset after that experience. I was upset. That was like the first time I felt very angry. I think I was more angry than afraid.
Right,
because first of all, the person it wasn't an outside person. It was I don't know what tribe it was, but they took because they were when they were searching, everybody could speak outside. I couldn't speak outside, right? So when they said I couldn't speak outside, they now directed me to someone that was speaking on fake Yoruba. So that was the man that was doing trying to show himself, like, oh, what did I give for? And I was checking my bag. I was just so pissed. Said I should call my dad, I should call my mom, I should call this,
wow.
I should call this. So that was checking my messages, was checking my picture, was checking everything.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, he took my phone and he left. And then I was like, so I was very angry because there was, you know, I know how we hear about the uniformed men and they can just be so ridiculous and very irrational. So what exactly was your trait? What was it that you, what was your suspicion? That I'm a terrorist or what exactly is it? So you didn't ask me for my ID. What you're supposed to ask, oh, let's identify yourself. It was just checking my phone and SMS. So obviously it was just his own ignorance. It was just an old man. So I was more angry than I was scared. So how did it end? Oh, okay, so it was when his organ now came and then that one was reasonable and I was like, oh, okay, I showed him my Instagram page and everything. I was like, oh, okay, that's like cool. So I was very pissed because they actually wanted to tell the boss to leave me, the cops to leave me, that I should stay with them until we sorted it. And I was like, what is the issue? What did I do? So yeah, I was more angry than scared.
And I think many of us, we that were following your journey and everything, we were very scared for you. Like, she fine, no, because what is going on in this state? And also knowing, also knowing that they do not understand the importance of tourism in that state is because I think that was where you met this very kind bike man.
Yes, yes.
You know, just for you to know that I'm a regular customer on your page.
Remember, oh my God, like I was like at this state that I'd already ruined my mood or my enthusiasm to go any further. But like that day, I don't know, God just sent that guy and it was just a great experience. So
Nike. Nike, I think you are very fearless because your mode of transportation to this state. Do you have audacity in your body? Just tell me. Do you have audacity? How do you do it?
That is your audacity.
By the way, Nike travels by road. Why that mode of transportation?
That's the accessible mode. That's the cheapest mode. I'm a budget traveler currently, and that's the way I can travel right now. So yeah, I've got to use it. And I think that's how you get to even like really experience the city very well, as opposed to flying, and you don't even know what it looks like on the road. You don't know what's even all these things.
Do you have a favorite city or a favorite state?
Not really, I don't. It's hard to choose. But if I'm supposed to choose like the top three, I'll say Taraba, Bauchi, and Delta.
Is it because you're from Delta, girl?
No. It's because my favorite tourist attraction so far is in Delta State, the River Itiyop, the Makati Beach. So that's my favorite. That was like the I think that's my top attraction in Nigeria so far.
So far.
So it's coming close to Taraba Shabu, I think, because I like waters and, you know, rivers. So that's kind of like my favorite place. So that's
what is special in Taraba? What is special in Taraba?
Oh my God. Taraba is dreamy. Taraba is like, how do I describe it? So first of all, that's like Mambila is the highest point in the country. I think in West Africa too. So, like, it's very high. The weather is cold. I think sometimes they see ice falling down.
Oh.
Like, right? So, it gives this abroad vibes. Then they have, like, the plains. They have, like, plateaus and hills and all of that. So, it looks very, very dreamy. I'm sure you've seen Ubudu and
Ubudu
that.
And yeah.
So, this one is, like, way, 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 way more beautiful than Ubudu. In its natural state. So like the whole plain, the scenery is just marvelous. There are waterfalls, there are everything. So it just gives like this abroad vibes. Yeah, so that's what's special about it.
What peculiar thing happened to you when you were traveling?
Negatively, right?
Or positively? Something very distinct.
I can't point. I'm thinking of one negative experience though. Okay. That was when I was at what was this place at is in Anambra. That's I've been at Onitsha, yes.
Okay.
So it was evening, like let's say 7 PM. I was traveling with a friend. That was like before I even started documenting my trips. We're going to Owerri. So we were in this bus, and I hear that our place, Upper Iweka Road. I know you must have heard when they are advertising
movies.
Upper Iweka Road, that place is a very crazy place. So there was traffic, right? And I know when we got there, because we came from Benin, the people were saying that we should keep our phones. So like, what's happening here? So my friend was pressing his phone. So because it was dark, the light of the phone was kind of showing. So one guy just knocked on the window. I was like, bring that phone.
Oh.
And everybody was looking at him. You know, in Lagos, if they want to take your this thing, they would either just take it and run away. Like, you get when people are around, you don't see someone say, yeah, give me your phone. I see people will beat them now. But this guy was like, give me the phone. We're looking, I don't understand. Did you use jazz in your mouth? It was outside, we were inside. Then it was not like, I'll bring this phone now. Nobody was talking. So the driver now tried to like move forward.
Yeah.
So while he was moving forward, they now closed the window. The guy was now running after us, not came. He was now shouting on the driver, are you okay? That I said you should bring the phone and you're moving it. I was like, like the audacity was like,
oh,
I was like, does he have? I'm like, I don't understand. Then the driver was not begging a bear, no vest. He don't know. He does not know that. guy does not know what he's doing. Like, ah. Wow. He's pressing his phone, he does not know what he's doing. So the guy and I said, no try him again. He now and then. So like, so I was surprised because I know when people want to steal or obtain you, they don't do it in public. And it's not like, okay, it's not good. Things like probably there, and they're kind of like very confidently, so nobody's them, and I don't know why, I don't know what that means. So that's like the that's one distinct experience I had. So that area, that upper Ewika Road, I worry when I pass there.
Oh my god, oh, that's some audacity, by the way.
The audacity was crazy. If it was Lagos, people will beat him now. Like, I know, I've never experienced that before, Sha.
And the locals in all these places that you went to, you said you like the Awusas better, I guess.
Yes.
But when you went to the eastern part of the country, how were you? You had a host? Or you just did it by
yourself? Yeah, I had hosts in the... No, I had people that I stayed with in their houses, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I explored alone, but of course, I had places to sleep.
But you didn't think that people wanted to cheat you because they know that you don't speak their language?
Well, I'm not sure. I think they were... Unlike in the north, there was a hike in price, right? I think many times, because I just got my iPhone 11 Pro then. So they were always sizing me up. They were always looking at, because I was always in my phone. So they were always sizing me up. And I couldn't tell if it was the real price, but I saw that they always referred to, see the phone where they use, right? The price, that kind of vibe. So I don't, not like cheat in a negative way, but they just wanted to maximize that, oh, this person from Lagos is here, let us make as much money as they can. For places that I did not know, I didn't have enough information about. So, but they were friendly, but they'll be friendly and collect their money.
Well, as always. But what about the Yoruba side of the country? What do you have to say about that?
I don't know. I've been here all my life, so I can't tell. It just feels like normal everyday worker, but I think especially if you know how to speak Yoruba, everything is okay.
From your experience traveling through many states in Nigeria, what would you say about the tourist industry in Nigeria? Or the tourism industry rather?
I would say it has we're far behind. It's not in a great state. It's not in a great place, right? There are a lot of abandoned projects, there are a lot of undeveloped places. You see the road leading to a popular attraction is very bad. You have to like go through a lot. For example, Ogun Waterfalls in Kwara State, it is supposedly the highest waterfall in West Africa. But I think it is, but it's the highest waterfall in Nigeria, at least. And it is one of the most popular waterfalls. But to get there is like a whole struggle. It's if you're not strong, it's not for people that are not strong. So I'm like, there's just a lot that, there's a lot. We're far behind. We're very far behind.
And I heard there is this beach somewhere on the island. You can actually take it to Ondo State. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yeah. Around Rumi Beach.
Have you been?
Yes, I have.
What do you have to say about it?
The beach or the experience?
The experience.
Oh, yeah, it was great. It was amazing. So first of all, the beach is... very like, you know how Lagos beaches are already very oversaturated, they are dirty-ish, they're not as refreshing as they should be.
And but like this beach is
yes So this beach, I think maybe the entry is just 200 and it's free and it's clean. It's clean. The air is clean. You can still see that the beach is not black. Like you can see the color of the water. So it's clean. It's a good beach, right?
Right.
But this thing that we mentioned, the whole tourism industry, so it is not, there's nothing to do there. So it's just like we're just on the coastal. So you know the coastal line connects Lagos,
yeah,
Ogun, Ondo, and Hen. So there's really nothing happening there per se. There are no structures, there's nothing. So it's just like the empty beach, right? So that's one. Then also I like that I used a bike from other place. If I'm lucky, my battery is low. Okay, I took a bike from Ibadulekki, and I like the experience of being on a bike and, you know, racing across the shores and everything. So yeah, I like the place. I like the place. I like the experience, and I've done it like twice.
Oh, twice!
I've done it like twice.
How long were you on the bike for?
Close to an hour.
Oh, that's fair.
And it would make so much sense. Like that potential now, they could get these quad bikes,
yeah,
or something cool that could just move people from, because it's close to Lakapa and Tropicana, from Lakapa and Tropicana, just keep going across the shores till you get to those states. There's so much potential that they could do.
If you were appointed as the minister for tourism, what would you do better?
Okay, so I'm definitely going to highlight like places that I've experienced that have like massive potential and put people in place, the local people that stay there, put them in place, educate them, let them know, oh, this is what you have, this is what can be done, you know, just do some negotiation, make them involved, because I feel like tourism could be misused whereby we ignore the people that live in those areas and we just come and just, you know, send them away or scatter them and just build stuff. So, yeah, I'll be very mindful of that because they know their area. So I'll make sure that they are involved. Put stuff in places like that I feel like should have stuff. So there's this thing, one reason why I chose Delta State again as my one of the top locations is because Delta does not have a beach. It is not like Lagos, right?
Yeah.
But they have a beach. They created a beach. So there's this river, the River Itiyo, the Blue River. So the river is like blue and pure and beautiful, right? So they just got sand and just found a way to like put it around the river. And that place looks like Maldives and, you know, all those places. So they don't have a beach, but they created their own beach. So that's how, like, I was so impressed to see that the state government did that. So we that we have, which is, we're just, it's still not as beautiful as it's created, yes, that they did. So, like, I'll just highlight, like, places that could, you know, that have massive potential and just find ways to involve the locals and make it, you know, tourist-friendly. So,
would you recommend certain places as tourist destination in Nigeria?
Yes, most of the places I've been to are the tourist destinations. It depends on what kind of tourism the person is looking for. Natural, historical, you know.
Are Nigerians missing something by not visiting certain tourist destinations? Because everybody wants to go to France. Everybody wants to go to Maldives. Everybody wants to go here. Is there something that we are missing? As Nigerians, because okay, it's even cheaper to go to these places, you know, within Nigeria instead of going to Maldives and spending, let's say, 1 million naira for one night.
I think what is missing is the making those locations attractive enough. So I think that's what is missing. The locations are there, the attractions are there, but like there's not enough. So there's the natural beauty, but then there's not the man-made beauty to make people to go there now? Okay, so if you are going to this hill, is there accommodation? Is there a resort? Is there a pool? Is there somewhere for you to like just, you know, feel like after the hike, what next? She gets. So I feel like it's the man-made attraction or the man-made inclusion that we are missing out. We have all the natural stuff, but we just need to fully utilize it and create, which is not what an individual can do. So that's why we are far behind.
Okay, let's run this very quickly. As a content creator, everybody says, oh, I don't have a camera, so I cannot start, you know, making content. How are you doing it?
Okay, so I started with my Android phone. I know this may sound cliche, but everybody, I feel like we should know that the step is to just start, right? So I started with my Android phone. I had very shaky footages. It was not great, right? But it did not really match. I didn't really see that as a challenge, right? I saw that, oh, I had something. I could still use that something to create something. So why would I be wasting time and not doing anything, right? So I don't even know how to handle a camera. I've never used a camera before. I use my phone, right? So I used the Android for a long time before I finally switched by mistake to an iPhone, because I used to hate on iPhone. But anyways, I eventually switched to an iPhone, and I just feel like we should just keep working up from wherever we are. If you don't start, you won't reach where you want to go unless you wait for everything to come. And most times, I've seen people that have the best gadgets, but their content is still trash. Their content still doesn't. So I feel like the time where you're supposed to use to, like, you know, own your craft with whatever you have right now, you don't do that. You don't practice. You don't get better. And then, oh, you now wait for the gadget and then you waste it because you don't know how to use it, or you don't know how to use it well. So I feel like we should just start with what we have. That's the key.
That's a good goal.
Try to learn on your own, learn online. If you can't take classes or anything, learn online. YouTube is free. TikTok. I think people learn on TikTok these days. Just search for whatever it is you want. Search for it. Start learning the basics. Know the basics. Practice with whatever it is you have. And it's definitely going to get better from there.
Thank you so much. You know, I see that now you're flying the skies. You know, I think I said basically congratulations, because it's such a big deal, girl. I'm so happy. Look at what you've done with your life. I mean, it's so inspiring. Well done. We are here and we are rooting for you as always.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being here. And of course, permission, we're going to leave some of your videos just to hide, so people would see that you are
no problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Alright. Memoir
of a Ninja Girl. That is it on today's episode of Memoir of a Ninja Girl. See, Nigeria is beautiful. Beautiful. I love Nigeria. I'm sure that you do too. Nigeria is very fine. We just think Nigeria is not fine because we are used to it. We are selling Nigeria very cheap, because these places are beautiful and we need to go explore and see things ourselves. Nike, thank you for being a guest and sharing your experiences with us on this episode. This is Memoir of a Ninja Girl. My name is Helen. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram, helen.love.23. Memoir of a Ninja Girl is available on all podcast platforms. Go and like, share, subscribe, tell a friend to tell a friend, and drop a comment. Thank you. I'll see you next week.
I am a Nigerian lady who knows someone that knows someone, and that person is a friend of another. In Nigeria, everybody knows somebody.
Memoir of a Ninja Girl.
My diary, my friend's discussion, my acquaintance's conversation, all on this table. Follow me and let's talk.